story often again, but I do think it's on God's heart that, you know, when we work with the youth here in Swakopmund, I don't know if it's, I guess it's in every school, but in Triple S, I mean, those kids are in dire straits, if I can call it like that. They've got nobody to look after them. Most of them, their parents are like, I don't know where they are. So this, and then we saw the same in Korichas. So the youth of this nation, maybe all over Africa, I'm not sure, but the youth of this nation is really in great need for God to do something in their lives. And I told Heidi one day that if, let's take an example. If you preach and teach to kids in the UK or in America, people that are well established and that they've got everything, you know, they've got their house and whatever, they don't require, they don't need the gospel so desperately like these kids do. So I told Heidi, the way in which we can approach the youth here is almost approach a drowning person. You approach a drowning person differently to the one that says, well, you can speak to me if you want to or not. But the youth of this nation, we can approach like drowning people. And one thing that I think we're doing it now at youth is that they're almost like, just take me out of this hole and help me to make a life. So we don't have to play with them. We don't have to play with them. They want to be instructed in the Word of God. They want to become soldiers for Jesus Christ. And if we approach them in that way and we say, listen, we're going to make you soldiers, then they at least come to youth knowing that's not going to be a party. Anyway, that's not the sermon. But we can approach, I almost want to say, a bit aggressively. A nice aggressive, but basically telling the youth, listen, you want to become part of this youth, of our church, we want to make you a follower of Christ, a disciple, one that knows Jesus Christ, like Nalau, that after this year one can already see that she'll be in a place where she influences but where she influences rather than being influenced. Amen. That's what we have to do with this youth. And I always say this is not a white church. And luckily, if one looks at it, it's not only white. So, amen. Are you with us? All right. In the beginning of the year, I shared this sermon on a family tree. Who of you remember that? We had a picture of a tree in the beginning, and the tree was empty. It was just a nice tree. And then the picture at the end was also a tree with what? Can you remember? Lots of people under the tree, sitting under the tree. So what we said during that sermon is that we talked about the church, and the church must be healthy, and that's the tree, and you must fit into the tree. Sounds very weird, New Age. We're not New Age. Anybody that's new here. But that as a church, you find your way, you find your place where you fit in. But then the purpose of it, of a nice big tree, especially in Namibia, is to give shade to those that need shelter. So we're going to talk about the second part today. Not about the church thing. We speak about that enough. But we're going to talk about people sitting under the tree. People finding rest for their souls. Amen. Isaiah 56. At least you can't. Was it last week when it was so hot? Yeah, it's just a week. No, it's different. But it, what did Nala also say? She just wanted to leave you the youth services, get it over and done with. Sometimes I see when it's very hot in this church, I can see the same expressions on some people's face. But I understand it, because at least I stand close to that aircon. You don't. You sit there in this. Anyway, Isaiah 56, just some introduction. Throughout the Old Testament, God speaks about Israel. Well, the whole of the Bible is about God and His people, Israel. And sometimes one can think, maybe you can read it when you read Scripture, and then you think, but why is God so... Hoekom trek hy die Israelite so voor? What's it in Engels? Why does he favor the Israelites so much? Or does he favor the Israelites? Why is his favor only on them? You know, that type of thing. And if one can draw a line through to church nowadays, what God wouldn't want is that people from the outside don't feel welcome here, don't feel attracted, even if they, you know, sometimes they're just so afraid to come in or whatever. They mustn't feel afraid. They mustn't feel like foreigners. So this scripture, yeah, it's almost in the middle of the Bible, Isaiah 56, and right there in the beginning of Genesis, God makes it very clear that I want to bless you, the Israelites, but so that you can be a blessing to the other nations. Yes, I've chosen you, but I haven't chosen you to be an exclusive little club, and the rest of the world must just see how I bless you and wish they were an Israelite or a Jew. No, I want to use you to bless the rest. But my heart is blessing not only you, but you being blessed, but the rest must also be blessed. And if you look at people with money nowadays, it's I don't know how it works, but the Jews still all have the money. So God blesses them. America, the most influential Americans with all the money, the big money, is Jews. They've at least got something right. I'm going to get to that later. Is they look after each other. Something our nation, I think Africa, needs to figure out how to look after its own people. Because you get one guy that is, and they're falling like flies now, dictators, that's president for 40 years, and all he does in that 40 years is grab as much as he can for himself. So nobody looks after each other. That's also not the sermon. Isaiah 56, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath. In other words, God is saying to, and God didn't want the Israelites in the Old Testament to mix with other nations. What did he mean with mix? Spiritual mixing. He didn't want them to be influenced spiritually. But here he says, if somebody there is a foreigner and he looks at me and who God, how they serve me, and they say, but I want to be part of that. Who keep my Sabbath, that's what it means, who submits under God, who says, but I want to serve this God, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my heart and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it. Where am I now? Oh, am I right? Sorry. Verse 7. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all Israelites. No. For all peoples. Other translation says for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. So there, verse 7, it says, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So what God is saying through this scripture here, I mean, I think it's quite obvious. But don't make yourself and the blessings that I give you exclusive. My house is a house for all nations. It's a house that where I want everybody to be involved or have the opportunity to get involved. And so if one wants to talk about church nowadays, I mean, this is nothing new. I'm not preaching new. You're not going to get a new revelation this morning. If you came for a new revelation, you're not going to get it. It's just the old one. But God wants us to be a church. Now I'm going to use my example that I actually wanted to use right at the end. But sometimes you get, and I must say it doesn't happen in this church often. Honestly, I say that. But you have a lot of Christians coming together. Now there's one guy that's not a Christian. You know, and then we can just talk about spiritual things. We're just talking about praying in tongues and baptizing and prophesying. And like, And this poor guy or girl who's new here is like, what are you talking about? And it's not like he doesn't want to listen to you. He just doesn't understand all your hallelujahs. You know, and all those things that we're talking about. And they must be placed, but just get my heart here, is that if we truly hear what the Holy Spirit says, I mean, Jesus went around at places where we wouldn't, as pastors nowadays, tell anybody to go to. He hang around, my father always called it the wille. It's Afrikaans word. It's a wille, it's like a bad, dark nightclub. But Jesus was there, and he hanged around there. And so that example again, where we're talking just spiritual things, and this guy feels so out, what the Holy Spirit actually would say to us there, if we can just listen and get our spiritual, our spiritual vocabulary out of the way, is, hey, talk about something else. Let this man feel like he's not nuts or crazy or doesn't understand anything. Talk about something normal. But we get, and once again, it doesn't happen here, but I've seen it. We can only talk about spiritual things. And sometimes the most spiritual thing to talk about would be something very unspiritual. Did you catch that? Just so that somebody can feel part. That doesn't mean we out with what we stand for and what we believe for. No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying. But Jesus, and or God here, says that I have a heart towards foreigners. I have a heart towards people that feel out. I felt very out, actually, in the beginning. But our small group was so cool, man. We had this cool skateboard guy. He looked weird. And I had this long hair. And he said the first, he only told me like 6 years afterwards or something. He said the moment he walked in and he saw me there, he felt like, yeah, man. This is the place, because I looked a bit wild. But so, for me, it was a bit weird, you know, in the beginning. But I'm so glad I had those friends, because we could just be normal. God, I wrote it down here as well. God is not surprised by your personality. In other words, don't change completely when you get saved. Get the sin out, or God will get the sin out, but don't become boring. That's one of the things he also told me. We always chatted about this. We just don't want to become boring. But get the sin out. But God is not confused with your personality if it's weird or different or a bit alternative. He's not. He made it that way. So people with the different personalities and what have you, they must feel welcome here. Anyway, Hebrews 13 verse 2. Yeah, I just thought of something else. You know, it also doesn't happen here, but it's just funny to me. Sometimes we put on a different voice tone when we come to church. We don't greet people the same way we greet. When I see Mark in town, I say, hey, how's it, Mark? Now in church, morning, brother. You morning, brother, a new guy, man. He's like already, Lord, hoe lank gaan hierdie kerk wees? Yeah? Let's just get rid of those accents, please. Sometimes even when people, and yeah, you know, I guess one can and should become, it's serious when you prophesy. But one should also, why do we start prophesying in the King James Version? Thou shalt sayeth, knoweth. Why does that happen? I don't know. God can prophesy in the NIV. Or the New King James, or even the what's this message? You can do it. So let's not. In any case, I can't understand the King James. I bought myself. Henny told us. I was so glad Henny said it, because I didn't know it. Because there's this. What should I call it? Conspiracy? No, it's not a conspiracy. But there's this one belief. Some people think that the King James is the most powerful translation, and you shouldn't have anything else. And then Henny, now you don't argue with, well, you can try and argue with Henny. I can't, because he knows too much. Henny actually said it's the English Standard Version that's most accurate. So, what I wanted to say, so I bought myself the King James. It's fancy. It's a nice Bible. I really like it, but I don't understand half of it. So then I go to the message. So, oh, now I understand. No, it's not so bad. King James is great. Hebrews 13 verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. What I wanted to say with that previous scripture there in Isaiah 56 is, I called my sermon, what did I call it? Point of contact. It's almost as if I can just draw a picture where God says, I just want points of contact with the people, with the foreigners out there. I want to connect with them. Can't you help me connect with them? That's what God was trying to say there. That's what I think. He says, listen, I've blessed you. You know me. You know my heart. But please, be my contact points. Be my hand there. Be my prayer there. Be my whatever, you know. Just be the contact points. That's what I was trying to say. Now, I'm just going to touch on two things. How to do this practically. How to be God's contact points. And this is where we just throw out all the deep spiritual things and we just get back to basics. And the first thing I want to share, and I've been really thinking about this week, is we must feed them. Feed like this. Apostrophes, is it? Apostrophes. So it does mean feeding people, but it just means helping people. Sometimes we can get so spiritual and we want to prophesy into people's lives. He just needs bread. Some just need bread. Jesus, if you look at his miracles, almost all of them, I don't want to quote too much now but a lot of them starts with where he just gives them food. He makes miracles and he multiplies food. And you know what? Every time Jesus fed people, he didn't come with a string attached that, are you going to stay for the sermon? Okay, there's a bread. You're not? No? Church. He didn't care if people stayed, if he preached or not. He still gave them bread. So if they came to abuse him, if they were there from another religion or whatever, in our days, today, if they were Hindus or whatever, Islam, and they came just to have the bread, he was fine with that. He still loved them. He just gave them bread. He just fed them. And we always, we must just get it right, you know. Let me first read the scripture. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then we will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. I thought of it this morning. You know, there's this... This is a joke. There's this stigma. Which is the best meat, goat or sheep meat? Everybody says sheep. I know you say sheep. Anyway, the goat is actually meat with the least fat. Sheep has got one of the highest fat. If I remember correctly, it's goat. And what's next? I don't know. Yeah, beef maybe, then sheep, and then pork. Anyway, so goat's actually very healthy. But I think the only reason why there's the stigma with goat, or maybe one of the reasons, probably the scripture. We always think in scripture that the goat is the bad guy. Maybe goat's not so bad. Anyway, and he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I'm just going to skip there. That's actually all I have to read. But Pastor Fred preached this sermon a while ago. And I don't want to go into too many, the deep things there. But this scripture refers to nations. It says he will gather nations before him. And then he will separate the nations. That's a good nation and that's a bad nation. Now one can probably draw this to personally, to our personal lives. He will say, did you do good? Did you follow me or you didn't? So you're either a sheep or a goat. But what comes across here is that how does God, what's the measuring stick that he uses to see if you're a sheep or a goat, if you're good or you're bad? It's not the amount of prophecies or the amount of spiritual tricks you did. It's purely, did people have something to eat in your nation? Did people have clothes on their back? So, I don't know how it's going to work one day. But if you look at nations like Norway, I've been there. Man, that's an expensive place. But you know, nobody there is actually hungry. Because the taxes get used for what taxes should be used for. Somebody in government, don't shoot me. But, so somehow, you know, I think, but now the other thing I want to say is those nations, the Scandinavian nations, they're the least Christian also. But somehow they will, God likes what's happening there in one way. And that is at least people are not left to die left, right, and center like in Africa. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to say more. I'm not going to make statements like God will judge those nations like this and so on. But God's heart is that people don't die from food and hunger. So as a church, if we, I told it to somebody, well, a lot of people on Friday, we had lunch. But I say it and I'll say it here also. Sunday service should not become the church's soup kitchen. You must hear me right, please. But the church should have a soup kitchen. I'm putting it in whatever soup kitchen means. It means helping poor. The church must have that aspect. But it shouldn't necessarily happen here on a Sunday. So, what I'm just saying is, we're talking about how to make people feel welcome, how to make the foreigner, you know. And one of the things we must do in this church, and God help us, and luckily last week, and what's it, lady, always forget her name, but from Hope's Promise. So this church blesses. And one thing that Risha said when we all had lunch on Friday is that it shouldn't be, let's figure out who's the Mercy Ministry leader here. It's you. Oh, thank goodness, now I can relax. No, it's a combined thing. It's a church thing that happens, is that we are involved in community projects. We are involved in feeding people. We're involved in clothing people. Are you with me? And I want to still do a sermon on that, but it's going to take a lot of research. God always, we spoke about grace. The whole of last year was grace. But grace and mercy in Scripture almost go hand in hand. And what Jesus, if you read it, and if you look at David and those guys that blessed, what did I read the other day? I think it was Nehemiah. Yes. God, why he liked them so much is that they had mercy in that nation. They had justice. Sorry, that's the word. Mercy, justice, grace, grace, whatever. But they had mercy and justice. In other words, those guys looked after the poor. They looked after their own people. That's one of the things that they did. They dismissed grace. They dismissed justice. There was a just system in that nation. People didn't go to jail for nothing. And those that should be in jail did go to jail. That kind of a thing. But it was a nation where justice ruled. I always say this, and I love saying it, is that A life without rules has got no liberty. So that's what teenage, oh, my kids, Ember, it's just, I'll preach it in a nice way to her. But that she will understand as a teenager that when I go to varsity, that doesn't mean I have, liberty means, like Dennis said, the first 2 years, we're wild and then we got saved. It didn't happen to me. But what was my point? But that we understand that God's rules actually gives liberty. Taking away everything destroys liberty. Anyway. So we must feed people. Feed. And just so that you know, we are busy with setting it up. We have been helping, but I still think it's important that we get a formal structure or a thing in church where that committee or whatever decides who is the highest on the priority of needs, and then everybody gives to that, to them, whatever you want to give, food or drink, and they distribute it. Because it's just a nightmare to determine on your own what's priority and what's not. Because the Bible also says we must first look after our own house. So we have to help people here in this church first. If there's needs here, it must be helped. It must first get sorted out. We can get a whole busload of people that need help. We must help, but let's just first help here. I mean, are you all with me? Sorry, I must go on. James 1:27. External religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God the Father, is this. And the next sentence is not all about spiritual gifts or doing spiritual tricks. No, it says to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and need, and to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. I'm going to brag with my mother. My mother is a saint. But not like we charismatics sometimes think. She has never preached in her whole life. She will never, I guess. And definitely not in English. She's been working now. What? How long has we been independent? 25 years? Huh? 21 years. Sorry, that's sorry. When she picks up the phone, it's still that classic Afrikaans English accent. Morning, how can we help you? No, sorry, sir, he's not in. It hasn't changed for 21 years, so she won't do it in English. But what I'm trying to say is my mother, I believe in God's eyes, my mother is a saint, because my mother likes going to old age homes and chatting to old ladies. That to me is a bit weird. But this scripture says, and I think we're going to be very surprised one day, because you all think I'm going to stand in front of the line there. Woo, Theo is the holy pastor. He's going to be the most blessed. I tell you, there's going to be some ladies and tannies that just pray for people and just dish out food. They're going to be way ahead of us. Because this scripture says this is what God has in his heart, is those tannies, those ladies, those men, whatever. Otherwise, my mother keeps quiet. She doesn't say anything. She's not even charismatic. I've tried to get her charismatic. Didn't work. Really didn't work. It backfired completely. But I know my mother is saved. I know my father wasn't charismatic. He passed away, and I know he's in heaven. Hallelujah. I know. That's why I serve Jesus Christ, because I could see him sit on his knees and pray every evening. Not spirit-filled. Still, he served God. Amen. Those people will be in front. Then the second thing that we have to do is foreigners is 1 Timothy 2:3-5. Sorry. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The second thing we have that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives is he will give us a heart for those that don't know God. So, you know, if you remember that sermon, we talk about the church must be healthy, and a healthy tree That is it. And we can never get. Walter shared the other day when he had that dream, and where he said it's part of the dream was where God told him how good it is to be in the fellowship of the saints. God wants us to have that family that is secure and safe. But I want to tell you that if we truly seek His heart, and nowhere in that fellowship of the saints there is a cry for other people that don't know Jesus Christ, then I want to say we're going to miss it. Wasn't there Lucille shared a dream that Sia had, where it was the church and it was very nice inside and other people wanted to get into church, but they had to stand in these queues. I really can't remember everything. And it was just one little gap. They couldn't get through it. There were too many of them, and they couldn't get through it. So what I'm saying is, God's desire is that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I know it. I know it. I made up my mind before I preached the sermon. I'm not going to try and convince anybody. But when I see God, when I really make an effort with it, that's when I get a heart for people. Not when listening to scripture sermons like this. Not when I try and psych myself up, let's go and do some evangelism. No, that doesn't happen when I get close to God. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the closer we get to God, these things happen. Lord, where can we feed them? Where can we save them? It happens. It happens because that is God. So if you're sitting here this morning, you just like me saying, Lord, help me to just rearrange some wires in my head that it's not always about myself and some other people, then you're at the right place. And we can start somewhere. Corinthians 10:32-33. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. So this scripture to me, let me just read my notes here. Not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Okay, what I want to say here is, we all have a man, and there's nothing wrong with that. We have, sometimes we struggle and we suffer, and we've got a, let's call it a plan. Well, I do think all families should have a plan and say, Lord, this is what we're trusting for. But I just want to say that's not the only thing that we can put and bring before God. Sometimes that thing must be set aside so that we can just bring other people before God. Not only seeking our own profit, but just, and you know, live a sacrificial life where we just be contact points. But I want to say, you know, and I want you to start smiling. But it is, don't feel if I preach something like this, or even if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that now you're thinking, the Holy Spirit is telling you must preach. Like I said, the Holy Spirit is not surprised with your personality. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation will tell you now, you must, if you're a quiet person, whatever, and you don't speak up too much, condemnation will now tell you, you must change. And you must do what Theo does. Or who's loud in this church? Who's also loud? Shame, there's not a lot. No, I can't name names. Now I must become like them. No, that's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. There's horses for courses. Does it make sense? Just ask the Holy Spirit, if He's speaking to you, how do you want me to be a contact point? And for some people, it might mean you never open your mouth about Jesus. It might. Who am I to judge? For some, it might mean do what my mother does, go and visit people in the old age home. So if there's any pressure on you now that says, oh, I must change and get more boldness, there's boldness. Scripture says we must have boldness, but boldness doesn't mean you have to preach in front of people. If there's any pressure like this, I want to rebuke it now and say there's no pressure like that. But ask the Holy Spirit, what is it, Lord, that you've blessed me with? What is it? Where can I be a contact point? I wrote down this example, so I must mention it. Hopefully he doesn't start blushing. But you know, okay, it might mean that you just invite somebody to church. There's a couple of people in this church that Quentin simply, as far as I know, he just invited them to church. And now they're here. They're blessed, spirit-filled, baptized, going to get baptized. You know, we don't have to do much. But at least he's got that on his heart, you know. He's thinking about that. Amen. Matthew 9:35-38. Please don't feel condemned, people. I'm excited. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. We are all laborers. There's just different types of laborers. We don't all have to stand and preach, but we all are laborers. We are all in some or other way wired, destined to get other people into the kingdom of God. And even if you don't pray that prayer with them, but you're the one that instigates that, now he starts asking questions because of something that you told him, you know, in whatever way. But Scripture makes it very clear in the last days, Jesus is actually very anxious. I don't know if you can get anxious, but he's saying, I need people to do the work. I need laborers. And once again, don't think of a laborer in a condemnation way. Think of it just in, Lord, where can I, what can I do? Amen. Are you with me? You see, because we're getting these prophecies that the wave is coming and so on. Oh man, I've at least the one good thing I've the changes that's come into my life. Previously I was just an evangelist. So I just wanted to have big meetings. Let's get everybody saved. And you know, they respond. They come forward. I remember once in SSS 200 don't want to overestimate like an evangelist. But a lot of people came forward and they're gone. Because we couldn't do nothing with them. We couldn't follow them up. We couldn't do anything. So the one thing I nowadays have is I've got a, when people say waves, God's going to bring salvations, I get nervous. Good nervous. It's a good nervous. Because where are they going to go to? Because I've seen so many people that give their lives to God and a week later they're in the bar again. Because nobody could follow them up. So why did I say that? We need laborers so that when people come in, that we grab them. Amen. The last thing I want to share with you is that I pick up this, and it's a good frustration, but I pick up, well, that God is not working through my life enough, and I'm not seeing His gifts, and I'm not seeing this, and this is not happening, and I want more of God in my life, and I want to see Him operate in my life. I want to tell you that there's a level of partnership with God. You'll only get over that level where you can go to growing, where you're like, you are in the army with God, if it changes from, Lord, how can you bless me? How many scriptures can I find about money so that I can be financially blessed and I can be spiritually blessed? You'll grow up to here, and I tell you what, you won't grow any further. The rest of the partnership and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the amazing miracles and things happen when it is focused on people, foreigners that God wants to pull in. That's when the partnership starts. It was like that in Korichas. You know, I've got this very weird confidence, is that when we have an outreach and you make an altar call for people to get saved, I almost know that they're going to get healed also. And it's not like, this is my faith, that's amazing. I just know it. Because when they come forward and accept Jesus Christ, God is jumping up and down. Because this is why I died. So I want to tell you, if you have got a desire to grow with God and to see God's hand in your life, miracles and signs happening, don't exercise it on somebody out there. Just go. It will happen. I know. One day we were doing an outreach there, and I was, oh man, I love this. We must do it more. And they asked me to preach. And people came forward, and I just thought, no, we must pray for everybody now to get spirit-filled. There were kids, man. There were kids. They were this big. I said, okay, we're going to pray for you now. We pray for them, and I said, 1, 2, 3, start speaking in tongues. Everybody. Start speaking in tongues. Just because God was there, God was like, yeah. Thank you for being the contact point. Thank you for being the point. So I want to say that God wants to move through everybody here this morning. Whether you're slow or fast or loud or soft. Matthew 9:35-38. I didn't say thin or fat. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. But anyway, that doesn't matter. God. Now I'll have to go and ask Heidi, how do I repent of what I just said? How do I make it right? Hoe maak ek nou reg? On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. What happened here is Jesus is preaching to people. They are not catching any fish. And they were his disciples. After he was preaching, he says, now put out your nets. They catch loads of kabeljou. Galjoen, kabeljou, alles. It's great stuff. And they're like, what happened here? And God says to them, listen, when you work with me, you'll catch men like this. When you partnership with me, I will bless what you do. I will make it overflow. My gifts and whatever will be with you, but you're going to be catchers of men. So God was trying to, I believe, teaching them, yeah, you want a partnership with me? You want to see my hand working in your life like this? Become catchers of men. So, I say it once again, that if we want to see God's hand in our life, let's just figure out where God has anointed you, how he has anointed you to be a contact point wherever. Now, I just must add this in here. When I became a Christian and was at work, I wanted to preach to everybody. Now, I don't do anymore because I think I'm a bit more wise. So I don't want you, please don't go and offend everybody at work and quote scriptures at them and throw scriptures at them and whatever. Ask the Holy Spirit when you must do and what you must do it. And sometimes less is more. You know, I always think we have to do all these amazing things. We must just hear what the Holy Spirit tells us and then we do that. But I want to tell you that I always say this. You know, when I have to pray for people here in front of me, I'm just going to say it again because it makes so much sense. That's when spiritual gift starts happening, because that is when I need them. Not when I'm sitting in my room and saying, Lord, bless me with your spiritual gifts. I want to prophesy. For who do you want to prophesy? Go to church, pray for somebody, prophesy for him. That's when the gifts flow. Now everybody thinks I'm wonderful. I don't know who thinks I'm wonderful, but I'm not wonderful. But I just know that it works because I get it. Just please get it. That's when it works. Is the moment when that foreigner or that what God calls the foreigner, when that one he needs stands in front of me and Jesus says, thank you, Theo. Just open your mouth, I'll help you. That's when the gifts flow. And we can pray that God blesses us more with that gifts. I just am telling you, having gifts, well, it's not about gifts this sermon. Forget about the gifts. It's not about gifts. It's about being the contact point. Amen. So I'm just going to ask. I'm going to make up a few questions that I will send to the small groups that I want them to ask so that we can just talk through this thing and pray through this thing. Amen. Mark, are you going to? Is there a few songs or what? Or not? No, okay, we're finished. But I want to. Ach, you come on a guitar. I was really thinking about this week, and you know, we are all talking about the wave coming, and I just want to pray for us, including me, I tell you, including me, that God will just help me to not be exclusive. This is something I also wanted to say. We people out there must see, we must be attractive to them. There's nothing wrong with that. They must be attracted to our lives. They must be attracted to what we have, to the peace that we have. But you know, with that attraction, there shouldn't be obstacles in the way if they want to come. There shouldn't be things like, "Whoa, I'm going to be judged. I've got weird hair. I've got dreads. I've got whatever." No, there shouldn't be that. And that's just. And the other thing is also that. Yes, we must build a church and all that stuff. But part of building a church is. Church is all about people. That's all I can say. You know, it's not about building a new building and it's going to be flashy and whatever. No, it's not about that. We just need a place where people can sit. So that's all. The church is people. Jesus died for people. He's not going to be happy if he comes back and it's not people to join him in heaven. He won't be happy. So I want to pray for us that God will just bless us and help us. And maybe, you know, maybe I must just confess. I want to come back to a place where I really just, I don't, you know, worry too much about my own things and blah, blah, blah. But I can just, for a change, look at somebody through God's eyes again and have that passion for people. The other thing I wanted to say, you know, it says in the last days many will be deceived. I think Lucille preached a sermon like that. I didn't listen to it. But the one thing that you can know, you can't get deceived. And you will not be deceived. Evangelist very rarely gets deceived. Reinhard Bonnke, because they are constantly focused on people that need to know Jesus Christ. They don't focus on massive, weird stuff, doctrine things. It's very simple. Jesus died for you. Accept him. And you're part of his family. They can't get deceived. So what I'm trying to tell you is, the enemy will come at us trying to deceive us. You have a heart for people, you can't get deceived. That's the rule. So we can just pray that God give us the heart for people, because then we can't get deceived. If we have a heart for weird things, we'll get deceived. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the visions and the dreams that you've sent us and giving to us. You're so excited about us individually. We bless you that you're involved in our lives in every little detail. We bless you and thank you that you are, it almost feels sometimes like you've chosen us to reach this nation, and well, we're just happy to feel like that. We're happy that you bless us like that. We're privileged, Father, that you want to use us. We're privileged about this picture that you've given us of a wave coming in, and you want us to be on that wave. You want us to participate. We thank you for that, Father, but I pray that you will help us to never steer away from losing the primary focus of what we do, and that is to be your contact with other people, the contact points with other people, not to lose focus of that. Father, I repent of all the things that we do and spend so much energy on, and then it's good. Nobody gets saved at some of the things we do. Help us to just change it so that we pray always for people to know Jesus Christ. Always, everything that we do. I pray that you will bless us, Lord, in that. And I pray that, I know there's so many people here, Lord, that are praying for family members to come to know you. Lord, help us with wisdom and knowledge and patience and all those things that we need and how to approach this. I pray for those that are almost sometimes crying for loved ones to just come back to Jesus. That it will happen, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray that your Holy Spirit will overwhelm those people. They won't know what's happening, but Jesus will be working in their lives. I pray that. I prophesy that in this town, Lord, where there's so much hardness of heart, where they don't want to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift those people up to you. We pray that you will sort out the spiritual stuff in their lives, and that we just pray for those lovely people that you've created. We pray for them now, Lord. We intercede for them now. We say, Lord, let the blood of Jesus Christ wash them clean. Let the blood of Jesus Christ speak to them, Lord. There's so many people in this town where the blood of Jesus Christ and the truth must minister to them. Lord, the truth must break through and break into their lives so that something can happen. I thank you for that, Lord, that you're going to, that some people in here in this congregation, we're going to be those ones that pray into that situation. And that we're going to be the ones that bring the breakthrough, Father. And Lord, we want to commit to being laborers, however that means for us personally, but just to be involved somewhere, just to be part of the puzzle. Lord, I pray and I bless you for that. I thank you for that, Lord. Now, we want to close off with thanksgiving. Just on what you've done in our lives, the people that you've brought into this church. We've got so many testimonies. People did Foundation 2 yesterday. They're going to get baptized. All that stuff. It's wonderful. We bless you for it. Thank you that you're using us. We commit. We want to be used more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed and pray with me. Pray with me. That if there's anybody here this morning, I'm going to make an opportunity for you to come and meet Jesus Christ. And not only me, but other people are going to pray for you so that you can have the experience knowing, meeting the living God. If you're here this morning and you feel like a foreigner, you don't feel part of the family of God, I want to say to you, we had this meeting for you. Jesus Christ had this meeting for you. If you want to and have a desire and have that unction, that pressing thing in your spirit now that says, I must make right with God. I don't know what I must do, but I must make right with God. Then I want everybody to just bow their heads. And if you feel like that and you want us to pray for you, then just lift up your hand quickly. If there's anybody that feels like that, put up your hand. Amen. All right, and then I'm also going to ask if there's anybody that wants us to pray. I'm going to close off now, and then those that have put up their hands must just come forward. Take that step of boldness. I'm going to ask some elders and small group leaders to come and pray with me. But if there's a second group of people here, you just want us to pray that you will get, you feel that you've lost your passion for what it is actually all about, and that is other people coming to know Jesus Christ. You've lost your passion. You know, I can't pray that passion into you. I'm just going to trust God that when you pray, we pray for you, something happens. But if you feel like that this morning, then I also want you to come forward. So I'm going to close off now. And then I know there are people that want us to pray for them. And just come forward. We don't want to make it too difficult for you to respond. Come forward. Somebody's going to lay hands on you. We're going to trust God for a breakthrough in your life. Father, we thank you for this morning. We bless you that tonight we can come and worship you freely. And we can come and seek your face. Father, I pray that you bless everyone here this morning. Thank you that some are going on long weekends. That you keep and protect everyone, Lord, and bring them back safely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If those want prayer, please come forward.